From the West Coast to the East Coast, from Waters World to the galaxy of entertainment that is the Loftus Party, welcome to the show. Maybe this is the first time you've heard. Maybe you're just tuning in for the first time because you saw me in prime time last night with Jesse Waters. Here's how it goes. My name's Michael. I'm on one end of the line. On the other end of the line, we got the Liberty Gimlet. Are you there,
Hello.
Gimlet?
She's
a gypsy. She's lived everywhere. She's constantly moving her locations, not in fear of her own safety, but just because it's that gypsy lifestyle. Okay,
it's
so here's what we do.
It's a good thing I've adapted.
Yes, yes. You've lived everywhere. You're constantly adapting. So we're going to be breaking down some of the big news stories, breaking down some of the pop culture stuff. We usually do that towards the end, but I gotta chime in on The Mandalorian. I watched the second episode.
Seen a lot of positive pop on that.
Listen, people need it to be. I don't want to get too big into The Mandalorian right now, but the Star Wars fans need something to hang their hat on. And it looks like they're going to hang it on The Mandalorian.
Well, so I have a specific question about The Mandalorian for you.
I will answer that puppy later. That's our little sci-fi tease right there.
Mm-hmm.
I did a video yesterday about the Jeffrey Epstein meme, instantly demonetized by YouTube. Instantly.
No way.
Yeah. Well, here's what's going on.
Because Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself.
Well, that's the whole thing. And I'm like, oh, this is a very clever, because people are actually now selling a sweatshirt. You can buy it. That has like Jeffrey Epstein and a bunch of Christmas lights, and he's wearing a little Santa hat, and it says, what do Christmas lights and Jeffrey Epstein have in common? They both won't hang themselves. So you haven't seen that?
No.
Oh, it's a classic. And now it's a holiday classic. And
it's holiday classic. Oh, my God. Like, as a civilization, we're just like, wow.
Right, it's pretty. That's some dark humor. That's some dark humor.
That's like Fargo level dark.
It is, but it's got so much traction. I remember seeing the meme a few days ago that now someone is like, I bet I could sell that on a holiday sweater, and they're trying. So here's what I did. I wanted to kind of in a humorous way cut through the BS. Because you hear a lot of craziness out there about Epstein. So I wanted to do a thing about what do we know is true about this? And it was a little concerning. Like, did two security cameras, air quote, malfunction the night Epstein died? Yeah.
Apparently. Yeah.
Both of them malfunctioned. Mm-hmm. Then you got, did two guards fall asleep for like hours and hours when they were supposed to be watching him? Yeah. So that's the story they're rolling with.
Yep.
Now, when you hang yourself, I guess you break a little hunk of cartilage. They call it a bone.
Bone.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Epstein had.
You may not.
Epstein had three breaks. Three of them. So that's the kind of thing that I'm talking about. Now, that Dr. Michael Bodden, who did the autopsy for the family, he also requested, they wanted to scrape underneath Epstein's fingernails to see if he fought off an attacker. And they also wanted the sheets from his bed to see if, like, you know, the sheets he hung himself with, I guess, to see if maybe someone else was in there who helped him. So the New York office, the whoever runs the jail is like, no, you won't be getting that DNA. Why not? Why not? So I found that to be creepy. And then
made the news either, because that would make everybody go, what?
Exactly. This is what I found fascinating by it. And then the other thing that I found fascinating, and this just happened 2 days ago during the impeachment testimony, that sham trial thing, the feds came in and they want these two guards to take a plea deal. Just sign this plea deal saying it was your fault and this whole thing goes away. The guards are refusing to sign.
Uh-oh.
I know.
Does that mean they're going to be disappeared?
That's how I closed up.
That's the other theory I came up with today. Everybody tighten your tinfoil hats.
Closing joke in this whole thing was somebody out there knows what's happened and they know the truth about Epstein. Don't tell me. I don't want to know.
I don't want to know.
I feel good. I'm not suicidal. I've been to the doctor. I'm at no risk of a heart attack. I want to publicly. So YouTube instantly demonetized it. I'm sure like Jeffrey Epstein probably is the catchphrase. Just like President Trump. So
you know what else is a catchphrase?
To get demonetized, what?
Eric Taramella.
Oh, but yeah. Well, that's
that'll get you banned. And here's my question.
That's the alleged whistleblower for all of our
a whistleblower. I'm not even going to say alleged. Taramella. Go ahead and sue me. I read it in the newspaper.
Try. Where are you going to send the subpoena? You don't know. She's constantly on the move.
I am now in
Chicago.
I am now because I outed everybody. And so I actually tweeted I'm healthy. I want to live and I'm very happy.
Isn't that funny? That's like a standard it's like standard operating procedure. Yeah. You do it as a joke, but like, I don't want to be like Andrew Breitbart, his sudden heart attack. In a couple days, I'm going to release the most groundbreaking, shocking. This is going to blow the lid off modern politics. Sudden heart attack. I don't believe it. I don't want to be heart attacked. I don't want to be suicided. I don't want to be Vince Fostered. I don't want to be Epstein.
Before I started doing all this, I re-upped my VPN.
Oh.
My IP is in a foreign nation.
That's great.
On my phone and my computer. And
that's
then fantastic. I bought security cameras. And then I started publishing what I had found.
That's good.
Because I'm not at all paranoid. But here's the thing about Eric Taramella. I want proof of life. I think they offed him.
Really? This is a stunning revelation.
He's been disappeared from the internet. I have no proof of this. He's been disappeared from the internet, but he has been involved in everything all the way to back to being on emails with Alexandra freaking Chalupa.
These names, like Alexandra Chalupa sounds like a Taco Bell thing.
It is a Taco Bell thing.
And then Eric Caramello sounds like a flavor of ice cream you would get.
I don't know, but all I know is he goes way back in to all of the 2016 election irregularities, including being on emails about money floating to Soros NGOs and everything else. Okay.
It seems like that's why Adam Schiff would not want him to testify.
Maybe never want him to speak again.
I think at some point they'll need him. He might be in a safe house in Vermont.
I think Donald Trump should put him in a safe house.
It's
like Donald Trump wants that guy to testify.
We all do. I just want the dude to read his resume. Just read his resume. So who were you working for in 2016? Who in 2015? And where were you at in Ukraine and all that stuff?
I know, but his testimony will actually help Donald Trump. I think Donald Trump should put him in protective custody. The only problem is I don't know under what agency.
It's
like who's going to keep somebody who might help Donald Trump safe? The FBI? The CIA? Who's going to do it?
It's at a point where you can't trust anybody.
No, you can't.
Who was the guy who famously said it? If there's ever a coup in the United States, it'll be the CIA that would have done it. This is like a conspiracy theory show, and I don't care. I don't care because
tinfoil. We're all going to need a hat.
And it's what's hilarious about the word conspiracy theory? Conspiracy theory is a phrase that was invented by the CIA to discredit journalists who were looking into the CIA. It's like perfect.
I did not know that.
Yes.
That's great.
Yes. The word conspiracy theory comes from a CIA think tank to discredit people.
Nice.
It's their classic. It's the Cheryl Atkinson tactic. Mm-hmm. Is that
trivia comes back and brings everything full circle.
It does, but what they do is they the government, and now it's especially the government. They slow play everything. It takes years and years. And Cheryl Atkinson is trying to. She's been using the Freedom of Information Act to try to get her file from the FBI.
And they won't give it to her
for years and years and years and years. And now, you know, what the standard operating procedure is, you slow play everything. And then years later, when you're so dug in and you keep saying, give me the truth, give me the truth, they go, wow, are you still talking about that? Yikes, it must be sad and lonely to be you. You're like just a conspiracy theory nut job. So it's a tactic, and sometimes you do have to dig in.
Do you realize the people that are like requesting FOIAs are getting more information about everything that went on with Russia collusion, the State Department, and everything else than those same executive agencies will give our own Congress?
No, I did not know that.
Oh, yeah. All the documents that came out about the Hunter Biden crew contacting the State Department, that was through a FOIA that John Solomon and a group like Judicial Watch, but it's not them, and I'm sorry, I don't remember the name. They filed a FOIA for that information when he started reporting stuff. That information all came back through him. A lot of stuff the Epoch Times publishes or the Federalist publishes or those people, that comes from Judicial Watch FOIAs.
The same
documents that congressional committees have requested related to all this.
The stuff that Judicial Watch does and other places, I really, you wonder, like, why can't that get more traction? Like, why? And I guess it is just...
they don't want it to get traction.
Indeed. And it almost seems, like, too bombastic. You almost, like, here's this is a great example. When I was doing my Jeffrey Epstein thing, like, I really thought... I'm telling you the truth here. There's like there was a tweet going around, a meme going around that Jeffrey Epstein had a picture of Bill Clinton painted where Bill's sitting in a chair wearing a blue dress, just like the dress. And I swear to God, I thought there's no way. There's no way.
No, it was confirmed.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes, that's true. And it's like, wow, I consider myself to be like relatively smart. Like I can drive a car and I can read and stuff. But like I legitimately thought there's no way that's true. There's no way. And then I look it up and like, yep, it is true. And then you go into there was an article written in the New York Times a long time ago just about Jeffrey Epstein's house. And how bizarre, like, his place in New York and, like, mm-hmm. the bizarre way it was decorated. So, that's just kind of out
for
there.
A dollar?
Yeah. And then it's like this Judicial Watch stuff. They seem to have, like, these incredible, like, smoking guns and insights and all this stuff. And you're like, it must just be, like, the mainstream media who's like, like the Jeffrey Epstein thing, like when ABC just like, nah, we just won't pursue that story. Like, I want to help out the Judicial Watches of the world. I really do.
What they're doing to John Solomon is just disgusting.
What are they doing to John Solomon?
Oh, they're trying to trash him as some tinfoil hat wearing lying conspiracy theorist. So if you take a look at one thing he wrote, he interviewed not the prosecutor general that Biden had fired, but his replacement, the guy who was supposed to be good, right?
Yeah.
Shokin and Lutsenko, those are their two names, Lutsenko being the second one, all say that they both say the same stuff about what happened. They were not political allies. They were not even friends. But they all say the same stuff about what happened. And one of the things Lutsenko said is that Marie Yovanovitch, or however you say her name, right?
Yovanovitch, that poor
Yovanovitch, whatever. The HR meeting we all watched on Friday, whatever. so he said she gave him a do not prosecute list.
Yes.
And he said it in a video interview with John Solomon. All of a sudden, a couple months later, right, you hear, oh, he retracted that. And so, like, if you go and you look, you see all kinds of headlines in the U.S. that he took it back. And then you finally get to a paper in Ukraine that says when you translate it to English that he retracted it. But when you actually read the article, what he said was she said the names to him and he wrote them down. She gave him a list. She just didn't hand it to him on a piece of paper. Okay. And then you read the entire interview that article originated from in a paper called The Battle. All right. It goes through everything. All you got to do is hit Google Translate if you're just remotely curious. And we have no curious journalists at CNN, NBC, MSNBC, ABC, CBS. None of them. Not a single curious person.
No. And it's shocking. It's shocking that there's like they're not even pretending to be curious. Not even pretending. Just the longer this goes on, the longer, you know, the Russia thing went on, and now with the impeachment inquiry and all that stuff, it's just so just beyond obvious, beyond the nose on your own face, that the majority of the media is just in lockstep with the Democrat Party.
You can ask anyone in my life, who's known me for the last 15 years, okay? When I started to get political in 2008, because I knew who Barack Obama was, right? Yes. Before that, I just voted like everybody and, you know, just did what I did and whatever, right? I got political. Yes. I did not want that guy to be elected because he's not a good person. And when somebody says they're going to fundamentally change America, I have a problem.
And he meant it.
He did, but now he's walking it back because his next generation is actually saying we're going to fundamentally change America in some pretty specific ways, and now he's freaking out.
Because they're going too far too fast.
He said the quiet part out loud.
Yep.
But anyway, so in 2000, like, I didn't watch Fox News. I thought Glenn Beck was a nutbag, okay?
Yeah.
My parents were all, like, watching and had the Blaze and the whole nine thing. I just did my own libertarian thing, right?
Yep.
So fast forward to 2019. Ukraine comes up. Stacey says to herself, I could find it on a map, but I don't know a lot about it other than it used to be part of the Soviet Union, right?
Yes.
So I start doing some research. I can tell you more about Ukraine now than probably 90% of the country. However, I did my own research into what went on in Ukraine before 2016, and ended up in other places back to 2009 and Hillary Clinton's State Department and all the way back to 2008 and a policy developed by George Bush's State Department. Okay.
Where's this going? Where's this going?
I put it all in a huge tweet thread, like 25. Well, I put 10% of it in a tweet thread that explained some of it. But a dude named Alec Ross played a starring role. So now Glenn Beck has done his own research. I tweeted this the day before, or the morning of his Wednesday special. I watched his Wednesday special. I found all the same stuff he did. I've been totally wrong about him for a decade.
You owe Glenn Beck an apology.
I owe Glenn Beck a huge apology.
It's always a weird, and I shouldn't say this. I
searched for him for free.
Like, Glenn just kind of went a little bit too big and a little bit too theatrical, and I think he had to dial it back a little bit. But, like, I'm struggling to make a comparison here because I don't want to, like, but like there's a lot of truth there. It's not like It's not like Glenn Beck is just like, I'm going to pull this out of thin air. Like, he always cites references and stuff. That was always the creepy thing. Not creepy, but it was like strangely disturbing, I guess, is better. Back when he had his Fox show and he started doing the chalkboard, he's like, and in this book.
I love the chalkboard.
I know, but he'll always go, in this book, on page 2, it specifically says this. And then he draws a line and then you're like, oh. It's like being in an X-Files. You're like we're all Scully in the X-Files, and Glenn Beck is Mulder.
I know, but I went back. So when I was researching all the climate nuts, right, and the funding and all of that after Sunset and Greta popped up the first time, and I did all that research, and I wrote 8 to 10 articles about it, and I can tell you where they all come from. I ended up watching his chalkboard about George Soros. I'm like, holy shit, that's 100% accurate.
And it's like,
and it's from 10 years ago.
With George Soros, he's like the boogeyman. He's like, you know, like a vampire or something. But you gotta say, you know, the guy's got a lot of money, and I'm sure he funds stuff all over the place. So in a weird way, I think
we were funding his NGO in Ukraine that protested the first prosecutor general, the second prosecutor general, that did all the training and all the stuff about how to use social media, how to make a viral video, how to get 10,000 people out of their houses to come down to Maidan Square. We taught Ukrainian students and NGOs that in a project called Tech Camps that were developed by a dude named Alec Ross, who says it's all about the dissemination of information in order to acquire power. He worked for Hillary Clinton's State Department. We started the protests in Ukraine. We started them in Syria. We started them in Somalia. We started them in Tunisia. We started them in Iran. We started the Arab Spring. And now we're doing it in Moldavia and Chile.
Hopefully we don't do it in Wakanda.
They're actually trying to do it in this country. One of the main features is a leaderless protest group. What is Antifa?
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Yep.
Yeah. What is Occupy? There's a leaderless movement. What is Black Lives Matter? One. A leaderless movement. What is Extinction Rebellion? A leaderless movement.
And you know what? And it's like they're all doomed to fail. Like, that's what Occupy Wall Street needed, was a leader. Like, what specifically do you want to change? You can't just sit there and be upset all the time. And like, you know, with, you know, I'll say this too about Black Lives Matter and these bizarre leaderless movements. Like, what is it that, like with Black Lives Matter, and I've done videos about this, and you know, Colin Kaepernick and the, like, so it let's get all the cops, you know, video cameras, just do it. Like, this seems like the biggest, easiest, most solvable problem ever on the history. Well, not in the history of planet Earth, but it seems
all of these movements are like a borderline on coke. I want it. I want it. I want it. I want it. Wait, that's not what I wanted.
Well, I would make the argument that it's not about finding a solution.
No, it's not.
It's about just keeping the unrest going. Look at how upset these people are. And it's the most important thing that these guys are upset now.
But, I mean, you can do a through line. These groups aren't destined to fail. They just rebrand. So you can do a through line from, I forget, the animal rights one that was before Acorn, and then Acorn turned into Occupy, and then Occupy splintered into Black Lives Matter and the Resistance, and now Occupy is actually rebranded as Extinction Rebellion. So they don't go away and fall apart; they just rebrand.
It's got to be constant. You need that constant pressure,
but. What's interesting when it happens in these other smaller countries that are not quite so geographically diverse or maybe cynical as the United States, right? Cynical and kind of independent-minded for the most part. When you look at what happens in these other countries, right? All of a sudden, when they're successful and the current leader runs away or whatever aim they were trying to do happens, The new leader emerges from those protest groups. We actually have Samantha Power and Gregory Pyatt on video talking about who would be the interim prime minister to replace Yankovic, right?
Yeah.
And that's the dude that did it, and he came out of the protest movement.
Isn't that miraculous? Isn't
totally
that miraculous? That they go, oh, here's the person that we would support. Oh, wow, you're running. Oh, what an odd thing. Maybe we could give you some money. That's crazy because we were just talking about how awesome you were.
Well, and while we were talking about it, we said F the EU because he wasn't the guy the EU wanted. Yeah.
Well, it's I think this is what we got to like prioritize. Like Ukraine is jacked up. I'm happy that Trump gave him some weapons. Like somebody made the joke. Somebody made the joke the other day on Fox News that like Obama was like the MyPillow guy for the Ukraine.
Yeah, he gave him blankets and MREs.
Yeah. And, like, Trump is actually giving them the tools to fight back. So that all is just, it seems to be just ridiculous to me. The whole impeachment inquiry is just ridiculous. And the lack of anyone being like, wow, I wonder if what Hunter Biden did was shady. I wonder if that was, I wonder if there is any truth to that.
The New York Times wrote that in 2015. They just won't write it now.
Yes. So... It ain't good.
I have
it
a question.
Good. Yes, I have an
I
answer.
I would like Adam Schiff to answer.
Okay, that might be problematic. We don't have him on the show today.
Yeah, I know, and they can't put him on the stand, so I can't have Jim Jordan do it, but whatever. What I would like to know is why are you just, like, balls to the wall, so concerned about aid to Ukraine now, and you said not crap when Obama was president? Oh, wait, I know why. Here's your donor, who's a Ukrainian-American who made a boatload in Pentagon contracts when all they could have is cameras to see what the Russians were doing instead of bombs.
Well, there's that. And he's been looking for anything to get Trump on. He was just in yesterday, Adam Schiff was given a speech, a big Democrat meeting, and he was the keynote speaker.
And I'm
paraphrasing, and he's like, 2 years ago, I asked you to resist. 2 years ago, I asked you to join me in our fight against this president. And soon, we will send him back to his golden throne. And it's like, wow. So you're admitting it. You're just saying, like... You've been calling on people to resist and do anything they can, and now finally, so it is. It's just the entire thing is a witch hunt. Trump called it years ago.
Can you imagine what is going to happen? He wins in 2020.
If Trump wins in 2020,
yes.
I tell you, there's buy tons.
Guns and ammo. Buy guns and ammo. That's the best I got for you.
It's, I don't know. Some days I'm very, very optimistic, and I think, because the economy is doing so well.
Oh, no, the economy, I believe he has a good chance. I really do. But imagine their reaction.
How did, their reaction? Well, I don't know. There may be some sporadic rioting in the streets. However... I don't know. It's cloudy. The future is hard to see. I can't imagine.
Look at how bad
anything.
They lost their crap the last time.
I don't know if, and this is just pessimistic me here, in light of some recent events. I don't know if Trump can win in 2020. I just don't know. Seeing what happened in these latest two governor's races.
You can't look at Kentucky like that. Bevin had a 30% approval rating because of Bevin. It had nothing to do with Trump. He was a very unpopular governor. He cut spending, like he gutted the budget in Kentucky because it had to be done. And every other state level office down the line was Republican. That was about Bevin, not about Trump. He actually went up in the polls and became competitive after Trump endorsed him.
Okay, so this is good. I like this conversation. So, Louisiana, what happened down there? The incumbent
Louisiana,
won.
the incumbent won. Incumbents always have an advantage, and Louisiana has one really big city called New Orleans, which is always Democrat. So, depending on turnout in an off year, off month runoff election, yeah, like if you look at the statistics between election day and runoffs, like you don't even get half the voters.
Yes.
I mean, it's just, part of it is the way Louisiana runs its elections, like California, favors incumbents.
Okay.
Does that make
So that makes
sense?
me feel a little bit better. I just it comes back and like I have respect. I have respect for Nancy Pelosi in terms of she can organize people and she can get votes and she can muscle and cajole. I have the same kind of respect for Barack Obama in terms of he has an objective and he will do anything and yada yada yada. I'm
Including
worried
lose a
about,
thousand seats nationwide.
which is fantastic,
I know
which is
he, I'm just
fantastic.
saying he sacrificed a lot lower down in the party to get a national agenda done and win a national election.
Right, but listen, the Obamacare went through. Obamacare went through in the middle of the night, you know, Nancy Pelosi muscled it through, and that's all you had to do is just give people a little taste. Ooh, there's a taste. Everything could be so much better if you, so that was like phase, and I think that's why Obama's saying go slow. Let's slow down because slow and steady wins the race. He's thinking
You
long
are
term,
so
and right
smart.
now, I think it's a numbers game. It's a numbers game. And the Republican Party, the conservative movement, were not adding people. Like what Kanye's doing is fantastic. Is fantastic. However, you can't wrap yourself up in a big old blanket of Kanye, because my man can do anything at any moment, and you can't be shocked, right?
Oh
Like,
yeah, no.
so
I agree,
I'm
but
still concerned with how do we add more people? I know how the Democrats add more people. I know it, and it's happening as we speak. New Democrats are coming across the border
much lower
by the
numbers.
hour.
At much lower numbers. Well, here's my thing and
But hold
where
on,
I take
there's 22 million of them here. There's
Yeah, no,
22 million of them
23
here,
actually.
and their kids will be Democrats. Is my concern. Okay, so you have the wave that comes in. The Democratic Party says, "Welcome to America. We're going to make sure you get free this, free that, free this, free that." We're the Democrats. We love you. Okay, so that first wave of illegal immigrant cannot vote. But when they're kids, boom, you're a citizen because you grew up here and you're a dreamer and you're the most important person on the planet. Those kids, so it's just you just have to wait. And I think that's what Obama's doing is saying, "Hey, you guys, slow your roll on the far left stuff. We're still going to get there, but this big socialist communist party bus is not going to get there tomorrow. It's going to take a few more years." And that's the terrifying notion to me. That's the big thing about like with China, you know, it's like they can wait years. It's a long-term strategy. And it seems like the conservative movement and the Republicans and everybody on the right is just we're just so knee-jerk. We're like, "Oh, look at this shiny new thing." And it is outrageous when you look at it, like, "Holy crap, that is outrageous." But the bigger picture to me, and this is why I'm doing the Freedom to Laugh show. Hey, we're coming to Chicago on Sunday. That's a little plug for my own show, Freedom to Laugh, Chicago Improv. Like, I'm trying to add new people. It's the culture war. It's all that. It's like we need more people on our side. We need to add.
You and I are both Gen X, right?
Yes.
Okay. The cool thing about us is we raised really cynical, selfish children, kind of like ourselves. and they're not socialists. They're very fiscally conservative. They're pretty socially conservative in a lot of ways. They have no desire to pay their older cousins college debt because they avoid debt like the plague. And the oldest ones are 24, and 12% of them have 401ks. I don't think they really believe we're going to be dead in 12 years.
Well, I hope so. I want to keep those,
and if we can
keep those numbers growing.
If we can keep the Republican side libertine on social issues, right?
Mm-hmm.
Marry who you want, just don't expect me to applaud. If we can stay there on the tolerant side, right? Like, do what you want. I'm going to be over here doing what I want.
Yes.
I think Gen Z is going to be on our side because, like, they're looking at millennials going, you want me to what?
I
did the responsible thing. You want me to what? I'm sorry about your underwater lesbian dance degree, but no.
Well, it's just, it's constant. It's constant. And like, what? Like, I did a video about like that Thinks. There's this new underwear called Thinks, and they had this thing like, what if we all had periods? What if men had periods? And it was just so ridiculous.
They can't.
I made fun of it.
Can't.
There's There's a new one.
A new one?
From Sprite, which
I watched that.
Shocking. Like, what are you doing? Like, why? What? It's just a head scratcher. Like, listen. If you're a guy, if you're a dude, and you want to go dress up in drag and march in a parade, God bless you. Have a great day. It just really bugs me when a soda company, Sprite, goes out of their way and spends millions of dollars and starts like romanticizing this. Look at them. Here's Granny helping
Nobody's
Junior
grandma.
Put on a corset. Like, what?
Nobody's grandma would do that.
Yes, I'm sure you could find one. You could find two. It's such a small part of society. It barely needs mentioning. And then they have the dad. Oh, the old, he looks like a Latino guy. The old Latino dad driving his son and his son's husband. Or maybe, who knows if they're
married. Not going to happen.
I swear. Like, why? What is the upside to this? What is the upside? Oh, now we'll get drag queens to drink our soda. Finally. We'll make millions more. It's so boring and tiresome.
Here, did you ever read the book Nudge?
No.
I will not be nudged.
Well, that is, it goes to
it's taking
what
over
I was
every,
just saying.
Yeah, culture, entertainment, news, the whole nine yards. And if you hear it enough time, men can have a period. Biological men can be women. No, they can't. I will not be nudged. You can say it as many times as you want. And there is nothing based in science or fact about what you're saying. Stop.
I'm almost flabbergasted about it. I'm like sputtering and stuttering over here. I just don't see why the Coca-Cola company would just, I mean, maybe they got that kind of money. Maybe they got that kind of money, but like, how does that sell more soda? And like, oh, we're trying to make the world a better place. And look at us and look at the wonderful things we do. Like, stop it with your political activism. I cannot stand it.
But
stay out of politics.
They don't get the go woke, go broke. Look what happened to Dick's. Every company, look what was the other one? The other one that had real financial problems after they did it.
I don't know. It would be
great.
I stopped using
Dove deodorant because Dove decided to get into the what bathroom people can use.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, legit, I'm a grown woman. If I go into the bathroom and I see somebody come out who's fully trying to look like a woman and I know is probably a dude and isn't being disgusting, I'm never going to say a word. I don't care, right?
Yes.
I mean, when I was in my 20s, I used to go into the men's room during a conference or concert because the line was shorter. Who cares? Right?
Yes. That's the smart move. That's the smart move.
But I mean, for a company to make a commercial about guilting me about how I'm supposed to behave if I see a dude in a dress in my restroom, just no, I'm not buying it anymore. I'm not going to be nudged.
It's like they're actively making the problem worse by getting up on their high horse and like preaching to me, here's what you should believe. It's like, I don't care about that stuff to begin with. If that's what you want to do, go for it. But once, like, Sprite goes, here's how you should live your life, admire that, like, no, I'm not, no.
Now well, I don't let children tell me what to do to start with.
It's, oh, like, my goodness.
That's just, the adults are in charge, believe it or not. And here's what I want to know. Here's what I want to know. I want to know when normal people everywhere will just look at this and go, no, I don't want boys competing against my daughter when my daughter's worked her butt off in a sport. No, a biological man can't be a woman. And no, we should not be doing medical experimentation on children. Knock it off.
You saw the South Park clip, right? I put it at the...
now they're transphobic.
I put it up at theloftusparty.com if you guys want to go check it out. But it's great if you haven't seen it. There's this reporter, and he's at the Strong Woman Games. And he's interviewing a female athlete. And now you understand that there's a transgender is going to be, competing against you. And she's like, that's fine. I salute that. More power. Girl power. And I welcome Karen with open arms.
It's got to be a Karen, right?
I just made that up. I don't know if it's Karen or not. And then they introduce, like, Karen or Linda, whoever. And it's Randy Macho Man Savage. I'm going to destroy. And that is the great joke. That is the great
it
joke.
It is.
It's a variation. It's the variation of the joke that I've been doing on stage now for a few months. But it's just so much better with the Randy Macho Man visual. Dude, go to theloftusparty.com and check that out if you haven't seen it. But
in MMA, the first dude who was now a woman who was a guy like 4 days before, like, literally broke the orbital socket of this really tough woman.
Oh, we're different.
I know. And I don't, like, I don't understand why saying that is all of a sudden controversial.
Listen, I go case by case, and I think I've even said it on this show before. Like, if you're a woman and you want to be a firefighter, that's great. But I just need you to be so strong you can carry my unconscious ass down a ladder 3 or 4 flights. Like, you have to carry me. You have to be able to do that. And I'm not a big dude.
No.
Like, yes, the test.
I could probably roll you out the window, but I don't think I could carry you down on the ladder.
Yeah, just roll me off the top of the building.
I'm just going to roll you out the window onto that big bumpy, thing that they catch people with.
Yeah.
I could get that done.
The clowns down there holding onto it.
I saw like just this random tweet the other day, and it's like, Marines interested in learning how to do co-ed basic training. Like, one of the SEALs who, like, killed Osama bin Laden, I can't remember which one, like, quoting and goes, no, really, they're not. Not Marines. Maybe the military leadership is, but Marines don't want that.
It's, there was a great movie.
Why would you do that?
There was a great movie with Demi Moore a million years ago where she becomes a Navy SEAL. It's actually a good movie. It might be called Navy
G.I.
SEAL.
Jane.
G.I. Jane. Mm-hmm. Yeah. G.I. Jane. Not a bad flick. But that's what her character gets pissed off about. She's like, no, I need to be able to do this stuff that the dudes do. And if you can do it, welcome aboard. I got
exactly.
No beef with you. And you're not going to change my mind with a Sprite commercial with some kid wearing glitter wing. I'm like, I might have to do a video on the Sprite commercial.
I'm legit going to get banned from Twitter if this stuff with, like, 7-year-olds keeps up.
All I want to say is,
you know who else let medical experiments happen on children? Goebbels. He did a lot of that.
You're
an authoritarian movement who's doing ridiculous things. You need to be shut down.
It's like that Munchausen by proxy thing.
Oh, I know.
Where you make
boys.
Sure
they really wanted a boy and a girl.
Yeah, you make sure that the kid is sick so much that you get attention in Munchausen by proxy. And with this whole thing, oh, my kid, No, my 5-year-old is really a girl. I know he was born with this, but he's and that's it's not funny. It's gross and it's sad, and
Oh.
I feel bad for the kids. And
Oh,
listen,
and
I'll say this
babies?
publicly too.
Babies?
If
Really? Babies.
I don't even know
They
what you're
trace
talking
their
about.
time.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
We're gonna use they and their as my child's pronoun so that they can choose their own gender.
Like till age what?
I have no idea.
Yeah,
It's this
I'm not
new,
in
like,
favor.
and they call them babies. I'm like, okay, guys, there's
Oh.
actual science that says baby boy brains, baby girl brains develop differently. So by the time they exit, they're boys and girls. Oh.
Jesse Waters had on this woman named Owl that was living in San Francisco,
What?
and yeah, she's like
Oh.
I think she's originally from Iceland, but now she lives, and it's a guy, and now it's a she's a girl, and she goes by the name Owl, and just like, whoa, pink is not for girls and blue is not for boys, and it was just very disheartening. It was very
But like,
disheartening.
didn't the whole like color thing evaporate in the 80s? I remember all kinds of guys wearing pink shirts.
Well, it's like, yeah, with fashion, it all comes
Yeah,
and
like,
goes. But she's like, don't put these gender rules on. And it's like, no one's saying there's gender rules, but it's like, good Lord, the vast majority of little kids, a little boy will turn anything into a truck or a gun. I don't know why, it's just what they do. I find
little
it.
girls will rock almost any inanimate object to sleep. Yes.
Yes. So yeah, Owl was a trip. Owl was a trip.
I
I'm
thought
hoping
you were
to.
going to tell me she was like trans species.
Who knows?
Can
The
she
whole
fly?
she's probably sponsored by Sprite,
Oh, God.
as far as I know.
Like, I
Here's some
actually
fun to
saw
know
that commercial.
facts.
Like, when I watched that commercial, I was literally dumbstruck when it was over. I just like sat there for 5 minutes going, what is happening?
It's that kind of commercial. And at one point, the kid is all the kid the one of the. He's all dressed up in his green or purple wig and his metallic wings and his and it looks like there was a famous murder in New York back in the 90s. Some club kid killed his club kid lover, and it's like this whole underground, and I'm like, but the kid's all dressed up in the commercial and goes down the landing and like looks up at grandma as if to say thank you for helping me put this fabulous outfit together. And then I keep thinking Jeffrey was never seen again. It was just like I was waiting for the dung dung of Law and Order. It
Well,
just
I just sit there going, good God, the drag community is like notorious, right? For just, completely mindless sex and drugs. They're like the ones that have the ketamine, right? Like the vet tranquilizers. That's their
Yeah.
thing in the clubs. And grandma's just gonna be waving at Johnny as he goes out in his mermaid? I don't think so.
Exactly.
That's a
It's like
dangerous place. Can we have a chat?
to deny that reality of like, wow, there he goes, my little 18-year-old, all dressed up and ready
Wow.
to go to the club for his first time. To have like to get roofied and just left in an alley. It's like seriously.
Exactly. And yes, we're making generalizations. Read the stories.
Yeah, well,
Yeah.
that's when you give them a Sprite. That's when you give them a Sprite. When the cops come and like, hey, can you identify any of the attackers? I'll look at a lineup. I'm so thirsty. Well, would you like a
Got a little
Sprite?
dry mouth, Johnny?
Yeah. Do you have one with cranberry? That's delicious. That's hilarious. That's hilarious. And if we
Oh
had the
my God.
means, that's the commercial we should make. That's the commercial we should make the part two.
Part two.
Speaking of part twos,
Johnny goes home on ketamine and grandma gives him a Sprite.
yes. But how was it? It was magical. I felt like I wasn't even a human anymore. I was a completely sexual being, just being passed around for these five guys' pleasure. It was
Grandma's so proud.
Oh, and then you got the Latino dad in the car going, "That's my boy." Yeah. Okay. Okay.
He was tearing up just a little bit. You didn't catch it?
Oh, yeah. He was getting misty-eyed. Because
misty-eyed.
He knew it was, yeah, it was my proud
day. It's free.
Here's a little, just a couple hot tips for you as we round the home stretch here. For all those the people, because you might be at work later on in the week, and people will be horrified by what they did to that ambassador, what they did to that ambassador. You need to know this. You need to know that Obama fired all of the Bush appointed ambassadors. He fired all of them. Yes, and it's standard operating. It's standard operating procedure, and perhaps that's what Trump should have done from Jump Street. Is just said, if you were appointed by Barack Obama, go ahead and submit your resignation because, you know, there's a new ambassador in town. So that's it. And this woman, that whole thing where they have to turn her into this tender flower, where I guess she cried during the closed door testimony. I guess now women don't have to be strong. They can be weak and they're easily intimidated by factual tweets.
And when you're not, you're trash, according to a bunch of right-wing conservatives, and I use that term loosely, about Elise Stefanik. But the other thing I'll tell you about, my plan, I just want Secretary Pompeo to go put, a bomb in the middle of the State Department and tell everybody and have them run out and then lock the doors. You all can't come back in.
Oh, so you want him to call in a threat?
I want him to call in a threat so that they think the entire place is going to be bombed. Everybody runs out and he locks the doors and doesn't let a single one of them back in until we get this all figured out.
Well, that's one way to do it.
I want them all gone.
We got to stay active. We got to stay active and entertaining and make our side.
I want every NGO, every State Department NGO defunded. I no longer want some dude in Moldavia giving $5 million to a George Soros-funded NGO so that they can harass the government there and then just disappear because when he got caught doing it, he just went somewhere else in the State Department. He just couldn't be the ambassador anymore. No, they all need to go.
I'm not even kidding. There was the guy, there was the two dudes who were like in front of Adam Schiff's mock jury thing, his high school trial work. These two guys that testified, and the one guy who had the bow tie and the water bottle, I think his name was Hunt. But anyway, his opening statement, whatever his name was, it ultimately doesn't matter.
Nye, the science guy, basically.
His opening statement is like, "I come from three generations of public servants," and I'm like, "You are totally fired. You are totally fired." Like that.
Sorry, y'all been in it too long.
Right, three generations. You need to work at McDonald's, son. You need to go to
a real job.
For real, you can't. I'm a legacy. Like what the hell? Like I think we're all supposed to be like, oh, isn't that adorable and awesome?
He's got to be telling the truth.
My family's been sucking the government's dick since 1800. I'm not impressed with that. Not impressed.
You know what else I'm not impressed with?
Hmm.
Everybody crying over Marie Ivanovich or whatever. Okay. Who still has a full-time salary from the State Department and does not one lick of work there because she's on sabbatical at Georgetown.
Well, that is the deep state. That is
No.
Don't tell me I'm wrong because I'm right.
I know you're right, but no, this shouldn't happen.
So why would you say no? You're giving me very mixed signals.
Because this shouldn't happen. No, 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 no. That's my tax dollars. This is why we won't get Social Security.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Here's another fun little nugget that I wrote down that I wanted to tell our listeners about. You look at, this is the thing. This is, you can say, oh, she worked for a Republican, she worked for a Democrat, and oh, la, 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 la. And that's not a wonderful thing. That's not a wonderful thing.
No, it's
these
not.
People who, and it's like appointments like this and lower, any kind of federal employee, and you get those perks and you got that job and you got that vacation time and you can't get fired. And they are, I believe, the largest employer in America now. Everybody goes, oh, it's Walmart. No, it's the freaking federal government. Mm-hmm. And these people, that's the deep state, in my opinion, all of them. And here's a little nugget for your next cocktail party or for your Thanksgiving dinner. They looked at the who donated to who. This is just federal employees. Who donated to who in the 2016 election? And 95% of the federal employees who donated to a political campaign, 95% went to Hillary Clinton. They're donating to the campaign that's going to keep the gravy train going. And the odds against Trump are just staggering. They're staggering. Everybody wants that dude to fail. They all want him to fail.
Oh, of course. Of course. And I totally get that. But here's what I think personally. And I'm going to some secret meetings this week, so I'll have more deeds.
Good.
Yeah. We're in the undisclosed location, except to a select email list. Yeah.
Oh, so I thought we were going to get more details.
Well, they're all. It's women for Trump.
Hmm. Good. Good. Good.
Yeah,
I like it.
I'm going to two events this week. And I'm just to the point where I'm totally out in public with it. You're not going to shame me. You're not going to intimidate me. You're just not going to, because you don't have an argument other than he tweets bad stuff. Okay.
It really does boil down to that. It really does boil down to that. Okay. I got to sneak in a little bit because we promised it up front. Yeah. A little bit of Mandalorian. It's a hard shift, but it's important to me. Therefore, it's important to the show.
Can I ask my question to get you started?
Yeah, go for it. Lead me in.
So some people are saying there's actually a small, cute character that is now more important than the Porg.
Oh, my goodness. Well, are you watching the show?
No, because I didn't buy the Disney streaming service because I'm not on that rotation yet.
This would be a spoiler. But here's The Mandalorian, if you guys haven't seen it. It's pretty much Clint Eastwood's character from those spaghetti westerns, The Man with No Name. It really is. And this is what John... So what you do with someone like that, he's a bounty hunter. Working in the outer rim of the galaxy, and and it's after the New Order stand by. Hello? Holy smoke.
What?
Hello? We gotta wrap it up. We gotta wrap it up. They're gonna be here in 15 minutes.
People are gonna think you're talking about law enforcement or something. He's getting furniture, guys.
I'm having some furniture. So now I really gotta wrap. So he's a bounty hunter. He's a loner, and we get little flashbacks to what happened to his people and all that. It's all great. It's all wonderful. And now he has. And what you do with a loner. A guy who only cares about himself, for good drama, you have to saddle that character with someone who's helpless. In the Clint Eastwood movies, it's always, the villagers or help us help our town. And then he ends up caring about someone and has to stay and actually help the town. So that's what our hero in The Mandalorian That's what he's. So they're doing that. They're doing a pretty good job of it. The cast is good. Cinematography is good. Yada yada yada. But here's what really struck me last night, and I'm going to write an article about it this afternoon for theloftusparty.com, or maybe I'll do an exclusive video for theloftusparty.com. There's nothing new. It really strikes me like George Lucas. Now, he wasn't the artist. He hired artists, and he'd go, ooh, that's a cool-looking spaceship. Ooh, that's a cool-looking outfit. Ooh, that's a cool-looking uniform. The world that George Lucas put together, just by him picking at you, ooh, that's what stormtroopers should look like. Ooh, Darth Vader, that looks scary. That kind of stuff. He has a much better eye. There's no one at Disney. All the spaceships we've seen... We've seen all of them. There's nothing, and it's one of the other things that bugs me about Star Wars as well. Like, where's the new stuff? They should just hire George Lucas, and as long as he wants to do it, just have him pick the ships, pick the outfits. Everything new, like the only cool thing that I can think of from this new Star Wars trilogy is they had that one stormtrooper who was all in silver. You know, ooh, the chrome store. And then she didn't do crap. And that was a giant turd in a punch bowl. But, like, we need cool stuff. That's the only thing that's missing from the Mandalorian for me so far. And the music. The music is a swing and a miss. But they need new, cool stuff.
But it's a good story.
It is a good story. And and I think it'll only get better. And thank goodness, I think Jon Favreau and the team that he put together, they're doing a wonderful job. All right, I got to bounce.
Anything else worth it on that service?
I don't. Nothing original. I mean, if you have kids, I watched the Jeff Goldblum show last night. And Jeff Goldblum, he's a very entertaining guy. He's an odd bird. He's a strange cat. And I watched, he did a show about sneakers, and I watched episode 2, which was about ice cream. And I really didn't learn anything.
Were you entertained?
Mildly. I was mildly entertained.
I thought they were supposed to have the Scarlet Witch and Loki shows on there, too.
No, those are coming. Those are coming.
No, I know they're coming, but that's when I'll, like, sign up for Disney, because Loki's what I care about, and then I'll watch the Mandalorian.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'll keep giving you guys updates. This Sunday is the taping of the Fox Nation special. If you're in the greater, you're in Chicagoland or anywhere nearby, it's the Chicago Improv. This one is in Schaumburg. It's going to be myself, Brian Hayner, Reno Collier. It's going to be a great, fun night. Come out, do that thing. We will talk to you guys next time at the Loftus Party Podcast.